This is SG2 Perspectives, a conversation with SG2 experts and industry thought leaders about the biggest trends in healthcare and what we expect that's going to mean for the future of healthcare delivery.
Hi, SG2 Perspectives listeners. We are trying something fun and maybe a little dangerous. On May 22nd, we're hosting a live podcast where you can join us for the recording of an episode. Our relationship right now is a little one-sided and we want to meet you. So we'll put you in my chair. You can ask us questions, share your insights, or just heckle us. There's more information in the show notes, but you do need to register so you can get a link to attend. Hope to see you there.
The moniker No Margin, No Mission fits perfectly here. You can be the community hospital, you can be the provider for the market and for the community, but if you're not able to generate a reasonable margin to invest back into your operations, you're going to be in a really tough spot and forced to close, consolidate, change things that you've typically done and really negatively impact the profile of the organization to that community. It's as simple as that.
Hello and welcome to SG2 Perspectives. I'm your host, Tori Ritchie. Today, I am joined by two of our consulting leads, Amit Sharma and Michael Lutkus, and we're going to talk all about community hospital optimization. Amit, Michael, thank you so much for joining today. Why is this an important topic? Why should our clients be concerned about community hospital optimization?
Hospitals and health systems across the country have gone through an unprecedented wave of mergers and acquisitions, and a lot of community hospitals that were previously independent, small, single hospital systems have now merged into much larger systems. Health systems across the country are still trying to understand how those assets fit into their systems and how they can optimize them to get the most out of those particular facilities as support for the academic hub or the quaternary or tertiary center, but also as intake and feeders and successful standalone facilities, providing the appropriate level of access to patients in the local communities.
As I think about the community hospital of today, it's a bellwether for the change that we're seeing in the healthcare landscape and ecosystem overall. Whether you're in a rural market or an urban market or in the Northeast or the Southeast, kind of your 250-bed or 150-bed community hospital has always tried to be all things to all people for the local community. And that's changing. There's a lot more competition from other hospitals and health systems, competitive forces from physician groups that are getting bigger and bigger, and other disruptive entities, whether it's private equity or other entrants into the healthcare space that are putting a lot of pressure on that the identity and that all things to all people mantra or approach that community hospitals have taken almost forever. And today, as care shifts away from the hospital into the ambulatory setting, these assets are struggling, competitive reasons, as well as staffing, workforce, and operational reasons, having the right specialists or coverage or redundancy to meet the needs of a more customer service focused population. We're at a point in time post-pandemic where everything has come together, not necessarily in a good way, but to really put a lot of pressure on how does the community hospital survive, because the sustainability of these community hospitals is being really challenged. We're seeing many of them around the country with very few days cash on hand, negative operating margins, 2-3 years of this exact same trend, and no real path forward to get out of that, let alone thrive for the local community. We're seeing many systems around the country have one or two assets like this, and they're asking the question, what do we do? And our view is incremental change is not the way to go to turn this asset into a thriving asset. You can probably keep it as an asset that's getting by, but I don't think that's what our clients and our members are looking for. They want to be thriving organizations to be able to meet the needs of the community and meet the needs of the overall system and overall goals of the organization.
Playing off of that topic, the system has to figure out what the end game is as it relates to these entities. How has that question played out in your consulting work? What actions have systems taken to contend with some of the concerns that surround their community hospital organizations?
A key to answering this question is understanding how these community hospitals started their life. At the same time that you mentioned what the end game is for these community hospitals, oftentimes these facilities were conceived for a different purpose, built for a different and maybe bygone era. What we are seeing is health systems trying to transform these facilities to meet their future objectives. Many of these hospitals were standalone community hospitals that merged into larger systems. In some cases, the local hospital Hospital Board saw the trends in the industry and the consolidation that was occurring and positioned themselves to be in a position of strength at the moment of that transaction. But in many cases, those facilities, through no fault of their own, were struggling at the time of the transaction. When we talk about providers, we're really talking about the facility, the hospital, and the services, but also the actual physicians and advanced practice practitioners. When those facilities merged in, there were reasons why they were struggling financially. Some of it scale, some of it regional factors, national factors, macro headwinds, socioeconomic headwinds. So at the same time that those facilities may be merged into the system, those underlying issues in the market still persisted. The challenge here is those different community hospitals have relationships and they have a certain orientation toward their community. If you're the health system that is the acquirer, shifting that orientation to fit into a much bigger whole future health system is a really difficult pivot because of the longstanding history of that organization, the culture, how it's ingrained and intertwined with the community, local community boards. There is a multi-step process that needs to take place over many years to be minimally disruptive. And health systems struggle with that. And rightfully so. They have many other things that they're focused on. Everybody in leadership roles has their day jobs of operating the health system and thinking about other things. And these are difficult, challenging political and sometimes personal issues to work through to ensure that realignment of the objectives of that particular asset within the context of the broader system compared to how that asset was oriented to the marketplace prior to that transaction.
Michael, the example that a lot of organizations have started to think about or had to deal with is obstetrics and labor and delivery programs. And you see a number of hospitals in that 100 to 250 bed range, depending where they are around the country, have to face the question, do we maintain, close, consolidate our OB or labor and delivery program? Because the volumes aren't there to sustain the operations. And then you get into challenges around quality in terms of the threshold of delivering a certain volume to maintain credentials and the providers and the physicians keeping those folks gainfully employed. That's the challenge. Some folks are in denial. They don't realize that the problem is as big as it is, and there's a process you have to work through. And so this entire conversation is really around change management and how do we help organizations think through the best option out of a myriad of options to change course, transform the organization. And the work that we've been doing, it's not rocket science to come up with 6 or 8 options for ways that they could pivot or transform the organization. The hard part is rolling up your sleeves with the executive team and the board and saying, we're in real trouble. And if we don't do something now, in 3 years, even in 18 months, we may be past the point of no return. So the time is now to do something and to really roll up our sleeves and think about the future of this facility, the future of this asset, the future of this campus, and what does it mean to the community and what does it mean to the system? The work that we've done in the last couple of years is to help our clients work through this process of change management, to highlight the urgency of the situation, the options that folks can work through, to prioritize the best option given the market, given the organization, and then to build a true path as we think about implementation and execution towards realization of those options. And it's a multi-step, very involved process, but we've seen a number of examples where we're able to create that urgency together with the client. We were able to identify the right path and prioritize the best option amongst a number of options with both data and really good context and get the senior leadership team and the board of directors on board with the transformation that needs to happen. It's been very fulfilling work, but it's also tough stuff. And every health system around the country probably has an asset like this that they need to figure out.
I have to imagine, too, it's a delicate balance of this change management work, making sure that we're coming up with solutions that allow organizations to perhaps work more efficiently or better contribute to a financial bottom line, which is incredibly important for the system to stay in operation, but also still meeting the immediate needs of the communities that they serve, because these organizations still have a responsibility to manage the care pathways for their different communities. Can you talk about how those two very important pillars might sometimes be at odds with each other and how you then triangulate what the right approach is?
The moniker No Margin, No Mission fits perfectly here. You can be the community hospital, you can be the provider for the market and for the community, but if you're not able to generate a reasonable margin to invest back into your operations, you're going to be in a really tough spot and forced to close, consolidate, change the things that you've typically done and really negatively impact the profile of the organization to that community. It's as simple as that. You've got a commitment to the community, but you've also got a commitment to the organization and the board of directors around a certain financial profile. And that's a tough balancing act, especially in organizations that are the only provider for a population of, say, 50 or 100,000 people. And we've seen examples where they're the only game in town. And how do you tell community that we're going to go from 155 beds to critical access? That's a very difficult conversation to broker and have when everyone's always assumed that if you're not well, you go to the local hospital. People expect it to be of a certain size and scale, and reducing that to a better, more operationally efficient footprint might be good for the system, but the optics to the community require quite a bit of management and upfront work to create buy-in as best as possible.
A lot of these communities, beyond just the optics of these decisions, they're ones that struggle with chronic disease incidents, obesity rates, a lot of comorbidities that really contribute then to the acuity that needs to be provided to the patient population. So if you pull the rug out from underneath them and no longer provide those services, you're effectively doing more harm than good to the health and overall welfare of these individuals. I can imagine a really difficult prioritization process.
It's often those communities, as our research has shown, as we look at the 9 domains in the Vizient Vulnerability Index, oftentimes in these communities struggling or financially distressed community hospitals, those are the communities that need those local services the most. Therein lies the challenge of managing a potential reduction of inpatient services at that facility, which is ostensibly forcing folks that might already struggle and don't have the means to, from a transportation perspective, to travel for care. You're now forcing them to go outside of the market. So when we work with our clients, we try to help them understand how do they retain and actually even enhance the intensity of services in the local community without increasing the fixed asset resources that are required to provide that care. It's really a fine balance from that perspective. There's an important paradigm shift in thinking that's really difficult to overcome as well. You have distressed community hospitals where their objective for years has been to put heads in beds. We talk about the heads in beds cliche, and that's the traditional hospital model. And it sounds like it's from the 1980s or 1990s, but it has continued to be the reality. What you'll find in some of these community hospitals that are hanging on by a thread is that they're hospitalizing a lot of folks for 1 and 2 days, sometimes longer stays because of the discharge challenges in those communities. But folks are being hospitalized for conditions that really, if we had a well-functioning system of care, would be stabilized in the community and they would have never required that hospitalization in the first place. A broken system of care in the local community that has been exacerbated by the economic forces and challenges that those hospitals have and their historical reaction to those, which is it's best for us if we get those patients in the hospital and if we fill the heads in the beds. Which a flipping of a switch to shift the paradigm from the community hospital being the nexus of the solar system in that local community to that facility hospital being maybe the most concentration of the fixed asset resources within that health system in that local community, but being more of a hub and looking maybe more like an ambulatory hub, even if it continues to provide a scaled back group of clinical inpatient services, a key aggregator or a concentrated hub of services in that particular community. We've talked a lot about the community hospitals that are distressed in areas where maybe the market isn't a growth market. Folks are trying to optimize community hospitals in growing markets as well. It's in a growing market, and you're trying to figure out what complement of services to provide in that community. And we've even worked with hospitals and health systems, although it's rarer, that are building new hospitals from scratch. In those markets, the concept of community hospital optimization takes on a very different tenor and tone, but still with the underlying objective, which is to align care throughout your system so that you can maximize your resource effectiveness. In every instance where we've had health systems that are building new facilities, they are taking advantage of the opportunity to start from scratch and are careful to build in an asset-light manner that leverages digital technologies, leverages virtual care, leverages AI and all of the new technologies so that it best serves the community of the future and the patient of the future, thinking of patients as consumers, without overextending themselves. I envy those systems that have the ability to do that, because not having that baggage in your community and being able to start de novo in a new location and a new geography is really a liberating feeling for those organizations. And they really struggle to appreciate what happens in some markets where hospitals and health systems acquired assets over the years, and now they have this tremendous portfolio of fixed assets and they're trying to figure out what to do with it. There was an arms race. The academic hubs, the quaternary facilities are bursting at the seams, which is great, but also presents its own challenge. And then you've got a cadre of a bunch of community hospitals that are half full. That's a much less enviable position to be in than the still daunting task of programming a new facility in a de novo market that's actually growing, where you have a better opportunity to get your fair share of the new people that are moving to the market. So just very interesting dynamics at play here. It differs from market to market based on those socioeconomic factors. And it really is an ecosystem. There are multiple competing dynamics here. There's no perfect way to navigate this, but it is one giant change management exercise. And ensuring that the team is aligned along the way is critically important. And also understanding it's no one's fault that we are in the position we're in because of the socioeconomic factors, the macroeconomic factors that oftentimes are at play in these markets.
Yeah, Michael, there is opportunity. Our hospitals and health systems that have assets like this, and the acute care assets being a hub, but needing more spokes around it, physician offices, freestanding imaging, ambulatory surgery, and other components. We've seen hospitals and health systems successfully transform these assets into that hub and spoke model. The takeaway from this conversation for me is the time is now to assess, evaluate, and move into that transformation and engage in the change management process. The time is now to really think that through. And that hub and spoke model is one option. We're seeing other folks repurpose these acute care assets for specific service lines or services. Behavioral health is one example. We're seeing some folks think around the post-acute side. We're seeing some folks transform into primarily surgical services. The suite of options that people can think through, specificity with reason and purpose to meet the needs of both the community and the system, as well as that hub and spoke model, tends to be thought process as we work through the different options with organizations and help prioritize what makes the most sense for that organization, that market, that community going forward.
That makes a ton of sense. And it's one of those where we're in an environment where we're so resource constrained that those difficult decisions do have to be made. And you do have to think through, how do we remain pillars of the community, but we also ensure that we have a strategy that's going to allow us to remain successful long term. And you all just do such great work to ensure that you're setting systems up with some of those opportunities and making sure that they're thinking through some of those really difficult questions and coming to what's going to be best for their particular set of circumstances.
One of the questions that is a very tough one to address is, do you exit the market? How do you get to a point where you're truly in a place where it's not working, it's not going to work, and the options available don't create a path towards sustainability? And those are very tough conversations, but it's happened and it's going to happen, where leadership teams are going to have to make those types of tough decisions. My encouragement for those listening is, it's not the end of the world to do something like that. If that's what's required to meet the needs of your organization, and there's an alternative path for those in the community to appropriately and effectively seek and receive care, yes, you'll be labeled a bad person, but it might be the necessary, maybe it's the necessary thing that has to be done. My encouragement to healthcare leaders out there is, best to see that reality up close, and it's better to just face it and then deal with it right then and there.
The word that comes to mind to me is stewardship. And how do hospitals and health systems become and continue to be good stewards of the care of the community that's been entrusted to them? We worked in it with a health system that had a retiring CEO, and that CEO really wanted to leave a legacy for the local community. That legacy, staying to the traditional heads in beds mentality, he, in this particular instance, continued to stick to the old mantra, continue to drive volume, wanted the hospital to be successful, to show a profit, et cetera. But there were all these one-time adjustments to their financials over time and the CARES Act dollars and things like that. And he wasn't preparing for the future. He was preparing to get to his finish line so that he could go out with a hospital that was break even or positive. And unfortunately, he now departed. Economic conditions got worse. Unfortunately, the legacy that he left is that this hospital within this system is no longer solvent as a hospital entity. And he did leave a legacy. It just wasn't the right legacy. And when you go to that facility today, it's half empty. In addition to the space that's built out that's empty, there's also space that's shell space within the building. And you think, how could anybody have agreed to fund this without truly understanding the underlying market and the demand for care in the local market? Health system leaders, and this is difficult to do, but somehow you need to balance the urgent and what needs to be done now, the urgent and important, while also understanding that there are aspects of their roles that are really fall more under stewardship and long-term planning, and look over that long-term horizon and recognize that there are things that need to be done today to ensure for a lot of health systems, and as we know, a lot of health systems are, 100 plus years old, that you're really just carrying the baton for a short section of this race. I mean, even if you're at a facility or if you're in leadership for 25 years, that's only one segment of the race. Would like to encourage health system leaders to think about how they shepherd their community and their leadership team through this period of time to come out on the other end, 5 years, even 10 years down the road, in a better position to effectively serve the patients of their local communities. What we've also found too is for those organizations that have deferred the tough decisions, they're in a world of hurt now. Just kicking the can down the road, sweeping this under the rug is sticking your head in the sand. I don't think that's a winning solution. Now is a good time for folks to assess how to reposition themselves for future success.
Tori, what's fun about this topic is it's so much more than strategy. There's strategy, there's analytics, there's conversations around stewardship, change management. This is a great example of care delivery transformation. All of the elements that tie to that, you know, there's operations. You can't do this type of work without also understanding the facilities, the financials, the capital, and the operations and the providers. There's so many components to charting a new course or setting a new path for an organization and then working to see it through. Yes, the work we do is strategy, but this is so much more. And at least for me, care delivery transformation is a good way to describe our work with community hospitals and how we can support them on that journey.
Health systems need to migrate to an operating model that allows for these big decisions to be made and then reinforces them. We are working in that space as well right now, figuring out the right relationships within the health system as far as the organizational structure is concerned, the right meetings, the right forums for discussion, and the right incentives, aligning the right incentives so that you have local incentives that reinforce the role that that local asset, the identity of that asset, the role it's being asked to play in the system, and how it needs to present itself and serve the local community. That needs to be mutually reinforcing, because oftentimes we work with health systems where there are competing dynamics and perverse and competing incentives that can just easily cause confusion, cognitive dissonance in strategies. Medicare, Medicaid, commercial insurance, Medicare Advantage, penetration in the market. There are a lot of competing philosophies as to in which sites of care should be provided. How do we maximize reimbursement? It's a very confusing environment. Health systems tying back to the operating model. It's incumbent upon them to create an operating model that works, that is as simple as possible because there's elegance in simplicity. Oftentimes, the reason why things don't get done and some of these big decisions and transformational change doesn't occur is because it's so complicated to actually make it happen.
Yeah, and both of you just hit on what's really at the crux of this. We have this changing environment in which the role of the hospital and the role within the C-suite of the hospital, it's changing. We're no longer operating in a very siloed environment where strategy teams are solely focused on strategy teams. We really need to be thinking about that comprehensive and holistic approach to how we ensure the success of the system in the future. If there is one thing that you want listeners to walk away with today, what is that thing? What is that term?
The system of care curve, which is a hallmark of SG2 going back to its beginnings 20 plus years ago, CARE is actually an acronym. It's always capitalized in documents. What CARE stands for is clinical alignment and resource effectiveness. What health systems really need to be focusing on, first and foremost, is patient care. But aligning that patient care across the geography, across their various sites of care, in such a way that they maximize their constrained resources, whether those are their physical facilities, whether those resources are human resources and human capital, their physicians, their APPs, their staff, or whether we're talking about capital dollars. That one philosophy and concept is something that's applicable across the board for all hospitals and health systems, but the way that it manifests itself in the strategies that those health systems need to be considering and pursuing may be a little bit different from situation to situation.
That's great. Well, thank you so much, Michael. Thank you so much, Amit. This was a really great conversation and so appreciate you sharing some of the learnings that you've had from recent consulting work. Looking forward to having you both back on the podcast soon.
Thanks for listening. If you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review us, and or follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn at SG2 Healthcare. And if you want to talk more about innovative healthcare strategies, you can always email me at sg2perspectives@sg2.com. Finally, SG2 is a Vizient company, and there are a bunch of Vizient podcasts that you might like. You can find them at Vizient / podcasts. Have a great day.